Glory to the Lamb of God who was slain for us. Hallelujah. Are you grateful?
Yes.
Are you thankful?
Yes.
Are you joyful?
Yes.
Are you faithful?
Yes.
Okay, then you can go home. Hallelujah. Then you're on your next level for the kick of the next devil. Thank you, Master. You know, in God's presence, reality is unveiled. And you've heard me speak about reality probably a lot of times. And I'm not done. Because he's not done. It's like it needs to be nailed into us. Reality. What is reality? Reality. It's making things real, isn't it? Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is what? Fear. Those things should be in front of us all the time with the Lord. It's our responsibility to make it real. God wants us to unveil. We are in a time of unveiling reality. Everything is attached to a reality. Everything. Sickness, medication, movies, everyday life is attached to a reality. What is the reality? Making it real. In other words, what you're eating, what's behind it? What you're watching, what's behind it? What you're listening to, what's behind it? We're to make everything real. It's our responsibility, an unveiling reality. Is everybody with me? Again, that's where we're to expose our enemies. Amen. Making things real to me and you, not stuffing them under the rug, not putting them aside till later. You know, how many times did you see a shadow and you knew it was a demon? Well, maybe. And then you woke up choking and you realized, yeah, that was a demon. Making it real. Making what is unseen to become seen. That's reality. It is vitally important. That's what God is doing right now. He's exposing everything. Everything. He's placed in office a man who is his servant. Just an ordinary man. But God has anointed him. And when God anoints you, you're no longer ordinary. You're extraordinary. You walk in supernatural with prophetic insight. The man that God has put in office is not to show mercy. He's to expose all corruption and evilness and unveil reality and remove everything from this country that is against God. He is a Jehu. And you can look that up in your Bible and see what God used, how he used him. It's powerful what's happening. For me and you to be alive right now is amazing. So many prophets and so many Christians wanted to be here to be with us and see it. Although they're seeing it, I'm sure, but they probably got, you know, big screens up in heaven, and you know, they don't need, you know, the Lord's showing a complete thing. He's probably providing popcorn and everything for everyone, and they're just dancing around having a great time. Yeah, look at what they're doing, you know, rooting us on, you know. But beyond this is a reality that you and I can't even comprehend. Such a love, such a joy, such eternity is a reality in itself, which we can only taste. You might experience it through the presence of God every now and then, but the only way you're going to really experience it is to be there. That's what gives us hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, let's speak it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Why? Because if your faith is in the wisdom of men, you and I what? False reality. But in the power of God. That's the difference. There should be an exchange there. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Who are mature, who can comprehend, who can interpret. Yet not the wisdom of this age, of this world, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to what? Nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? For those who love him, who follow him. But God has revealed them to us through his what? Spirit. Now the Spirit only has access to those who repent. Somebody understand it? So if you've done something and you haven't repented for it, the Spirit does not have access to you until you repent and the blood is activated, because the blood always goes before the Spirit. That's how God created it, because it's got to be clean for the Spirit to move. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the what? Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Well, they are all available, but the whole thing is you must access the Spirit. And you must access God's presence. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, listen, if a person is not Spirit-filled, they ain't going to get it. I don't care if they read the Bible 10 times. They still can't interpret the Bible correctly. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by who? Nobody. You're not judged by any man. You're judged by God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind, the thoughts of God in us. Amen? That's where you and I, our conscience, is always carrying the thoughts of God. God is always speaking to us. In me and you is the Holy Spirit. Tongues is always running in you. You just connect and release it. If you listen very closely, you will hear tongues running in you. Wisdom of men, not of God. The power of God. I mean, wisdom, it's the wisdom of men and not of God. That's what's causing problems. Amen? People are seeking the wisdom of men and not the power of God. And are being deceived. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ is not veiled. Amen. It's not blinded. It's not veiled. The deep things of God is the unveiling of reality. Those are called the deep things of God. What's he always doing? Unveiling reality. Remember, these are mysteries, hidden mysteries that God is revealing, which means he's unveiling. Matthew 27, verse 45. There are multiple unveilings of reality, but there are some major ones that have changed the course of history. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard it, they said, this man's calling out for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Let me tell you that the temple began to crumble. The veil was ripped. This was an unveiling of reality. And the graves were opened. Talk about freak out. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. That was the second unveiling of reality, resurrection. Again, the first one with Jesus on the cross. Amen. The veil ripped. Jesus rose from the dead, but they didn't know that yet because he was gone 3 days. Amen. But then those that were dead in Christ at that period of time rose with Jesus and came out of their graves, went into the cities. Jesus didn't go into the cities right away. He went to see his people. But he carried his own blood up to heaven. So he can make a way. That's how they were released. The blood had to go before him. Amen? So the first and second unveiling of reality was writing the scriptures. The veil rips. Jesus goes into the depths of hell, rises from the dead, And all those of his ministry that died that were in Christ at that time went into the cities and appeared to many. People freaked out. But that was an unveiling of reality of a true God that raises the dead. Resurrection was a reality now. It wasn't just something spoke about. Because they argued over resurrection, the Pharisees and Sadducees. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, okay, truth is light, amen? What does truth reveal? It unveils what? Reality. But if it's veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Why? Because they're living in a false reality, not a true reality. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? Satan. Who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Listen, I know many people that proclaim to be believers and will not read the word of God. They're not even involved in fellowship. They don't even know what a tithe is. But they believe they're Christians. They're not in the true reality. That's how the enemy plays games. That's how he keeps people in bondage. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. But not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. The veiled message needs to be unveiled. That way, it unveils reality. Acts 9. Acts 9. You know, we can give somebody a warrior booklet or prayer booklet or a Bible, either one, or you can give them both. And the majority of the time, they'll pick up the booklet before they'll pick up the Bible. Because the enemy has them convinced, and they don't even realize it, and tries to keep the Bible, the truth, veiled from them. But when they begin, so actually the prayer booklets are back doors. They enter in to the back door and bring light. I was just talking to someone from New York and from Total Freedom New York, and the guys in the prisons are going crazy over the booklets. It's amazing, and they're taking them to other places. So they might go from one prison to another, and they're taking them over to, so they're getting calls from all of these prisons and are speaking those prayers that God has given them. Why? To break through. Because they're targeted prayers. And sometimes you don't understand the fullness of God's targeted prayers in the Bible. But as you begin to target certain areas, more reality comes, and then when you begin to read the Bible, interpretation comes. Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. To be what? Killed. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I bet you he really freaked out. Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Why? Because they hadn't been unveiled yet. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. God put him on a forced fast. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. I bet he was praying like he never prayed before in his life. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his what? Sight. So he might become unveiled. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight. In other words, be unveiled. Receive reality and be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you may interpret. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he was arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Amazing. The third unveiling of reality, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of the sight to the blind. All of these are to bring unveil. It's unveiling of reality, isn't it? To set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and all the eyes of the place were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Boy, did that stir him up, didn't it? So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is this not Joseph's son? Something's different. Something's different. The anointing breaks yokes of bondage, unveiling reality, sets captives free, sight to the blind, releasing the oppressed from Satan's deception. Is this Joseph's son? Unveiling reality of the word that became flesh. It is the fourth unveiling. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Revelation, a prophetic vision, prophetic insight. Prophecy unveils reality. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning of fuel and fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But that about wraps it up right there, huh? Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Prophetic revelation, the fifth unveiling. A child born of the Spirit. You know, one of the things that also unveils reality is God's timing and cycles. Things that repeat itself, and then God expands it. We talked about this before, that we've just completed a 400-year cycle, a prophetic cycle. That means that this Thanksgiving is going to be the first Thanksgiving. It's brand new. It's brand new. Why? After a 400-year cycle, it starts a whole new thing. Now remember, how many, we know that there's four seasons in the natural realm, amen? But in the spirit realm, there's 4 years in one season. There's a difference. That's a prophetic. There's 4 years in one season. And so four is associated with things of God performing. Sometimes it's judgment. It's completion of things. Or it could be a starting of things. But it's a prophetic number. 440 days, 40 nights, hello? 400 years. Moses was with God 40 days. All of these things are starting of something new. But it's always coming of something, ending of something to start something new. And that's where we're at again. Well, this is where we are right now. Why? Because this is a great, you know, what they call it, a great awakening. It's a great unveiling. It's a great unveiling of reality to humanity. These people are waking up because of a new reality that's placed before them. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose. So what are you doing? You're actually exposing deception to bring, unveil the true reality. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's giving you light, not a light. All right? Light, not a flashlight. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light to see. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because of what? The days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the what? Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, your heart should always be towards the Lord. Giving thanks always for all the things the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, respecting one another. See, exposing evil darkness of events, peoples, schemes, unveiling reality. Amen? There's very much evil, very much. This is known as the sixth unveiling, our responsibility to unveil. Psalm 100. Think about how much the body of Christ has arrived, has risen up, become bold and standing stronger now, become unified, causing an unveiling because they're not accepting the deception anymore. Humanity is the same way. They're waking up because things are being unveiled. Hallelujah. What a time to be alive. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a what? Joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Don't be miserable. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Enter the courts with thanksgiving. Why? We want to get pray. We want to enter his presence, in other words. Enter his presence with what? Thanksgiving. Why? Because it's the unveiling of reality. When you get in God's presence, if you're truly hearing, he's speaking to you. He's revealing something to you. It could be a message. It could be something that you asked about years ago and he finally answered you. I know he spoke to me tonight in certain things. I'm thinking, oh boy. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. So one of the things the enemy wants to do is veil you again. So God gives us a defense to keep unveiled. Amen? In verse 14, he tells us, he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. If you do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we're to enter his courts with thanksgiving, his presence with thanksgiving, and we're to come out of the world, the false realities, and don't touch those things. Don't agree with those things. See, that's what the worldly carnal media is created to promote deception, a false reality, and keep people in a place where they can't unveil reality. So they're taken captive. Amen? And I'm going to close with Revelation 18. So the enemy's going to battle, fight, kick, scream, lie, cheat, steal, kill, and destroy. Because he doesn't want to be known. But he's got no choice. He will be unveiled. Yeah. Starting at verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And it's become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Now, I know that he's talking about Babylon, but I want you to understand the connection with Babylon is Jezebel. And that's one of the things Jehu did. In fact, when he entered the city where Jezebel was, he yelled out because she was on the second floor. He said, "Who's with me?" And there was like three or four eunuchs that came to the window and said, "We are." And he said, "Throw Jezebel out." And they threw her out, landed on the ground, and it was fulfilled that all her blood splattered on the walls and the dogs came and ate her. Hallelujah. And we have a Jehu spirit in office. Praise be to God. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render her to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed, and mixed double for her. In the measure of that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as queen and am no widow. I will not see sorrow.' Therefore her plague will come in one day, and death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, for they will see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city. For in 1 hour your judgment has come.'" It's going to be 1 hour that God is going to take his wrath and destroy Babylon. And this is a global event. "And the merchants of the earth will weep," because it says of the what? Earth, not a city. "Will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and the bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which you are rich and splendid have gone from you. You shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and many of as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her fire, of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their own heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her.'" Praise be to God. Vengeance is the Lord. It's coming down. Make sure you're not in the way. Amen. Stay unveiled. Don't let the enemy veil you. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. And this is the seventh unveiling. This is completion. It's completion. Revelation is the unveiling of prophetic reality. Somebody get it. Revelation is the unveiling of prophetic reality. That's the seventh unveiling. It is the completion. We are coming to an end of many things that so that things can begin. But again, what is unveiling? It's unveiling truth. It's unveiling the true reality. That means if something's unveiled and it's true, that means deception comes at the end of it. It's the end of it. To those who maintain their course and stay unveiled, and they grow, and they grow, and they mature. But those who still play the games and touch the world, in and out, still money hungry, still chasing after things they're not supposed to be chasing after, will begin to have half veil. The veil slowly comes to when they miss things. They miss God. They miss the opportunities. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for keeping us hidden in this secret place with you. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. And we thank you for unveiling reality that we may see things through in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.